Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Paul Willis? Good afternoon. This is Getting It Done. And this week, my co-host, Paul Willis, and I are going to be trying to do a show for you that will be lasting. But before we get started, I'd like to give a shout-out to a young lady whose birthday is tomorrow. Her name is Becky. However, I don't see her telephone number appear on my board, so there's no way in the world I'm going to sing happy birthday just to a silent person. This week's show, as advertised, will be about us analyzing Teddy Wilson and Earl Father Hines, a great jazz musician. But before we get started with that, I want to go back and talk a little bit about Scott Joplin, who was born in 1867 and passed on at the age of 49 in 1917. Historically, he is considered the father of ragtime, and also there was a piano player by the name of James Scott, who was legal, who idolized Joplin, who also played ragtime, was born in 1885 and passed on at the age of 53 in 1938. And what was so remarkable about this musician was that if you were living around that time, let's say in the early 1900s, when the silent movies were on, the person whose music you heard in the theater was none other than James Scott. Not Scott Joplin, but James Scott. Okay, Paul Willis.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be included in with your show here today.
Yeah, getting it done, man. It's a remarkable thing to be able to converse with you over the phone. Would you tell our listeners, and I think I see that we have 14 to 15 people listening right now.
Okay.
Could you tell me or tell us and the audience a little bit about who you are? They all know you're from Connecticut, and they know you're from Manchester, Connecticut, but they don't know how important you are. I see that my friend in Florida is called in, but go ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Paul.
Well, a little bit about myself. I've been a long resident of Connecticut. I see myself as an ever-growing musician. I'm a composer, I'm a performer, and I've been recording. I've been a trainer for years, and I've been also spent some time doing as a member of the Greater Hartford chapter of the NAACP, and...
Yeah, you can't tell me, man. I can remember the time when you were in charge of public relations for the NAACP, when I was president for the Greater Hartford NAACP.
Well, I can attribute that to yourself, sir.
Yes, sir.
Under your tutelage. And, but anyways, again, it's a pleasure to be on the program here. And it's just amazing that the content and the history of the music that you bring forth reminds me back in the day when I had a jazz radio program in which you came in on several occasions to talk about either particular singers, musicians, etc. So again, just it's a pleasure to be on board here today with you.
Hey, listen, could you tell our audience about your album that you put out not so long ago? Of course, I'm singing on it, but can you tell people on how they can get their hands on that particular album that actually, as I hear, is doing fairly well? Could you tell them how to get a hold of it?
Well, the name of the album, it's Heart Shines. It's seven original materials that I've written. A little bit of some a little bit of some gospel, a little bit of some rock and roll, a little bit of a little bit of some jazz influences, some blues. You can get that by getting in contact with me at my email site, pcwillis@gmail.com, and I'll be glad to send that out for you. Had a good time putting it together. It's a little bit of a journey, but finally got it done after all these years. And again, thank you, Doug, for being a part of that project and being on the album.
Yeah, it took a little while to get there, but we finally did it, and I'm glad that I was a part of that project. Let me tell you about something that as a prelude to the two gentlemen that we're going to analyze. Let me see if I can give you some background on the one of the gentlemen that we're going to be listening to in a few seconds, and his name is James P. Johnson. James P. Johnson is the father of the stride piano playing, where the left hand does a lot of moving back and forth. That's called a stride piano playing. And it was a prelude to jazz artists such as Earl Garner and Oscar Peterson, who I ranked number one and two at the top of the jazz scene. So James P. Johnson is the person that, Paul, we're going to be listening to right now. I'm going to pull it up, and we're going to listen to this guy playing. And if you listen to the left hand, you'll hear the left hand playing.
One thing, I can't keep up with him.
Yeah, unreal. James P. Johnson, standing for James Price Johnson. Now, if you had a grandmother and they had the old piano in the house that had the rollers, James P. Johnson was on most of those rollers where the piano played by itself. He recorded most of those particular, but he was really known as the stride, father of stride planning. And if you listen to that left hand move, and if you really listen very closely, if you were a person who listens to people like Earl Garner and Art Tatum or Oscar Peterson, you will hear a lot of the stuff that they did that were similar to what this man did do. He was an artist who was famous for playing and using the stride style. And in fact, Fats Waller tried to copy everything this man did. This man was just outrageous. He was born in 1904 and passed away in 1943 at the age of, really, believe it or not, 39 years old.
Wow. What I found very interesting is the fact of the use of improvisation
for the jazz pianist. He was really on it. But I wanted to give him as an introduction because basically we just do not give enough credit. Maybe we just don't know enough about some of these musicians that have passed on. They're like, man, he passed on before I was born. I never heard anything about him. It just happened that I was doing the research for the day's show, and I saw his name before when I was looking. I said, let me check this man out. This cat, I was looking to a lot of his stuff was just outrageous, man. So let's go on with the day's show. And let's first of all tell you a little bit about Teddy Wilson. What can you tell me, Paul, about Teddy Wilson? Because I know that you've heard of Teddy Wilson.
Well, I'm not much of a student about Teddy Wilson, but I've done some research in regards to him. Well, I found that his piano playing is very kind of like not as when he plays the keyboard, it's not very striking. It's very clean. He's very smooth. And a lot more from, as opposed to the other artist that you're going to be talking about here later on, Earl Hines. And but anyway, I found him to be very, very interesting in the fact that he was able to, I just find him just a very relaxing kind of player, as opposed to the early ones there.
Yeah, he's more of a modern player, but whether you believe it or not, he was born in 1912, 3 years before my father.
Wow.
And he passed on in 1986 at the age of 73. He performed with some of the greatest musicians of all time. By the way, this man went to college. Can you believe that? Teddy Wilson went to Tuskegee Institute, and he went there on a violin scholarship, man. This guy was unreal. Playing the violin as well as playing the piano. But that didn't last long. He didn't stay in college long. He stopped college and went on and started playing music with a gentleman that most people have heard of in the jazz field. And that is Benny Goodman.
Yes.
And these are some of the people he played with. And that was in 1933 when he left college. But he played with Louis Armstrong, Benny Goodman, Gene Krupa, Lionel Hampton. He played for Billie Holiday, Lester Young, Roy Eldridge, Ben Webster, Lino Horn, Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, Earl Hines, that we're going to play next, and Art Tatum. And when you review this list of each of these great performers, you are I'm in awe about what they must have thought about this individual. So we're going to listen to a piano solo that was recorded in 1934, and listen up to this cat. Thank you.
I'm just going to say that I find it very interesting that he was also an understudy to Earl Hines. And YouTube has a very nice recording with both him and Earl Hines together on stage, both playing Trading Fours. So it was very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing something about the two of them performing together, but they were much older at that particular time. This was recorded in 1934. And where he had also, he played ragtime when he was really young and had gone through ragtime, Dixieland, and now he is up into the swing period. In 1934, that's when the big bands were doing a lot of swing music. And Teddy Wilson mm-hmm. was one of the people that played at Madison Square Garden and also at Carnegie Hall with Benny Goodman. And that was the kind of style of the music that was around, probably around my mother's time when she was a teenager. But I'm going to listen. I'd like for us to listen to Teddy Wilson, how things had changed from 1934, 7 years later, 1941. Smoke gets in your eyes. Let's just listen to this man's left hand, where he had mastered that stride piano, but also had strong command of the right hand. Listen. Thank you.
I think you can see, you can hear the variances from the early ragtime, which was more of a marching tempo that they utilized. Where here it's a little bit more melodic, and you can also hear a little bit more of the improvisation that he began to really utilize in the works.
You hit the nail right on the head. Before, the improvisation was more tinty with other musicians. James Johnson, that came along, started that whole revolution of a modernizing an improvisation structure. And Teddy Wilson grabbed hold of that drug whole thing and took it to another level completely. And, you know, it's just it's remarkable that he was able to go from ragtime to Dixieland to swing. And almost, you know, we're talking about a period of time when people like Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie were just starting to make that move into real jazz. And here we have this man, Teddy Wilson, who already laid down the foundation for a certain kind of thing. And so I just wanted to pass it on as we analyze his ability to do what he was able to do. Now we have one other gentleman that I'd like for us to hear. Who's that ball? That's forgotten now. was that Earl Father Hines, right?
Earl Hines, yes.
Yeah, Earl Father Hines. My mother used to tell me about this man. He actually came around the same time as did, actually played around the same time Teddy Wilson. He just did not have all the blessings that he did. He was born in 1903 as opposed to Teddy Wilson being born in 1912. And he passed
right
away in 1983. And, you know, both of us were alive in 1983. But I remember
yes,
my mother and father talking to me about this man right here because they had, when they were in college, this man came to Benedict College and played a concert with his band back at the time that they were in college in the 1930s. I think they were in the school in 1938. He came to Benedict College and played. So without any further ado, let's get a listen to the great, legendary Earl Father Hines.
How they played bass then when they first came inside. And they improved on the bass, and of course, they later on, Johnny Green will give you an idea how they play. Now they're playing. In fact, it was the style that they're using. Same thing, because I'm playing a little blues. I don't do too much of that way aspect because, tell you the truth about it, if I do, then some of my old-time friends will forget all about it. Say, well, I don't know what he's doing. So let's pick the tempo up, fellas, and do a little love around the corner and have some fun, and let's see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say to you, Paul, anyhow, he moved from the old Dixieland and went to swing to modern jazz.
Absolutely.
Can see and hear some of the course that he did. He still swung. He did the swinging that Johnson created, but
yeah.
Then went on past Teddy Wilson. Even though he was older than Teddy Wilson, he became even more modernized in his playing than Teddy Wilson. What do you think?
Well, I think what's interesting is that Earl Hines really expanded the piano as a orchestral instrument. And by that, I'm meaning is that, I know that I was reading and I heard a couple of things on YouTube regarding him. I mean, he said he always wanted to play trumpet. So he would play the high notes on the keyboard just because that's what the sound he wanted to hear from playing the trumpet. But he was able to really use that piano as a full orchestration. And when he really got into dealing with, instead of himself as a soloist and playing with band members, he had to move with the bass and with the drums and with everyone else. And but his style and his improvisation was outrageous. And again, I think that he really brought out the piano as to the instrument that it is.
Yes, he did. He, as a matter of fact, the song that he recorded, that's called "Squeeze Me," that he recorded that song in 1948. And I'm quite sure he's played it more times than others in a lot of different ways. But you can tell some of the chords he did almost sounded like Thelonious Monk. And that was before Monk's time. Monk came along in the late 1940s. So Monk might have heard this man.
I think what was nice about Earl was the fact that people would say to him that, you know, it seems like you're getting lost in your playing. And he said, no, I'm playing what I hear, but he always knew where he was. Though people were sitting there going like, you know, what is this guy doing? I can't follow him. I can't, you know. And he just was just moving right along. And later on, like at the old Thelonious Monk would even go further with that. But I mean, again, he just had a energy for playing, which was beyond these other characters.
You know, Paul. You know, he came along during a time when the piano was going through a major transition. And you could see it, you could hear it sometimes when he was playing. Count Basie was a lot of the styles in Count Basie. You see some of the things that he did, like Duke Ellington. Besides that, we talked about Teddy Wilson, so we could see in all three of those giants the same thing with him. Now, that was done, by the way, in 1948. Let's move forward and see if we can pull him up for something else that he did later on and say 1965. Let's try 1965. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Did the last part of the song, didn't it sound a lot like Earl Garner?
It certainly did. It certainly did.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Say again.
Say what you're going to say.
No, I was saying is that was a good piece to really illustrate that how he accented off beats. There were sudden stops in between. There were some. If you're listening to your to the piece, you could hear some brief silences. Then he's back into something else. He's into another tempo, but he kept within the same realm and included some of his roots. He maintained his roots in his pieces, and in that one there, he definitely had the stride and the ragtime connection there.
He was able to hit on every. He did the Dixieland, he did the stride,
yeah.
He did ragtime, everything in that one song, he did just about every level of jazz. Now, I'm going to play something, Paul, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. But you, when you get finished, you think it's not going to be Father Hines or Earl Hines. But you're going to listen to it, and it's going to sound just like Father Hines. Listen to this one. Will you tell me who it is? As if I can pull it up.
I think you'll find it very intimate and personal, just him to you. It's not a concert. There's no audience. No sidemen. You don't see Johnny Hodges or Curtie Williams or Harry Carney. It's just Duke Ellington or Edward Kennedy Ellington, as he was named in 1899 in Washington, D.C., you know, he actually played in this very studio at the ABC for a one-hour special when he first visited Australia with his band in February 1970. He was 71 years old then. He's an extraordinary man, a great musician, and, of course, part of the fabric of American culture. He said some wonderful, quotable things. One that I love was about the pouches under his eyes. He said to a journalist once, "Don't look at my bags that way. They're an accumulation of virtue." He came up with a lot of gems like that. And tonight he talks about what is jazz. He says jazz is a tree. Just listen to his analogy. I love jazz, especially Duke Ellington, because it's so happy, peaceful, and sociable. So sit back with a drink and a little something to eat and enjoy with Duke. Thank you.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
That was a great Duke Ellington. The great.
Duke Ellington, wow.
Yeah, you don't normally hear, and the reason why I played it tonight is because next week's show is going to feature the great Duke Ellington on the piano. Most people don't hear too much about him playing the keyboard because of his compositions and his arrangements for all of the musical instruments in an orchestra that he traveled with.
Yes.
But he was a master on the piano. And if you listen to Father Hines, Earl Hines, and Teddy Wilson, you'll hear a lot of Duke Ellington in their play. And Duke Ellington was a master in terms of being able to get your attention by just little small detailed things that he did on the keyboard. Oh, by the way, people, you're listening out there, audience, I see there's quite a few out there today. You've been listening to a program that sort of gives a historical perspective on different people in jazz. And so we just finished listening to the great Duke Ellington doing a solo on a piano. It goes back to 1970. And this was during the height of jazz on the keyboard. And besides listening to Duke Ellington, we've been listening to Earl Father Hines, as well as listening to Teddy Wilson. And we'll probably go back and listen to a little more of Teddy Wilson when he was playing with Benny Goodman in his early days, and you'll hear the whole group. You'll hear not only Teddy Wilson on the piano, you'll hear Benny Goodman on the clarinet and Lionel Hampton on the vibes. But Getting It Done is the name of the show. Started at 4:30, is now 5:20. Play a couple of more songs and listen to some more stuff that Mr. Willis might have to say. What do you think about Duke, Paul?
Oh, the Duke is fabulous. I mean, he was the Mr. Conductor, and just, I mean, you can just go through the history of jazz from the people that he had through his orchestra and his influences and their influences in the field, leading all the way up to today.
Yeah, Roy Eldridge played with him, you know, on trumpet. Roy Eldridge played, and there are a lot of great musicians. Ben Webster played with him. Royal played with him. There are some fantastic musicians who went on later on their own and to did some great things on their own, but they under the tutelage of Duke Ellington. You know, and a lot of people don't realize that Duke wrote a lot of his music back in the 1920s and the 30s. Satin Doll was written in 1938. he was way ahead of his time. I remember my father saying that Duke Ellington was way ahead of his time. I didn't understand what he was talking about, you know, because I didn't really appreciate Duke as a pianist. I appreciated Duke later on as a composer, because I got a chance to meet him at Fayetteville, North Carolina, when I was going to college at Fayetteville State University, and I was running the curtains there. So I had an opportunity to meet with Duke, and I'll tell you all about my intrinsic impressions of the great Duke Ellington. And he's so down to earth. He's like talking to you and I talking right now. That's how very interesting that man was. But I don't want to take up too much time of me running my mouth. I want us to listen to some of Teddy Wilson and maybe one more song of Father Hines before we conclude the show and talk about next week. Let's get on with Teddy Wilson. Thank you. I wanted to tell you a little about this jazz group right here, the reason why I played this. And you might find it extremely interesting, as well as for my audience. This is them playing in 1973. All of them are old men at this time. They're all old, gray hairs and everything. And they sound great to be old. We haven't even heard Teddy Wilson play yet, man. But they played this song back in 1934. But his group, Benny Goodwin, I have to give him credit, put together a group that was the first integrated group in the whole United States back in 1934. And on Vibes, of course, is Lionel Hampton, who I had an opportunity to meet also. And at that particular time, he was in his 70s. Teddy Wilson was in his 70s. Benny Goodwin was in his late 70s. And Gene Krupa was in his late 60s. Out of that whole four group, Gene Krupa was the first to die. But back in 1973, I remember the group very well, and I remember seeing But what happens is that we don't have a lot of time left for me to talk about it. But I just wanted to tell everybody about this fantastic group and see if we can end with somebody who played some music that was very, very, it came after Teddy Wilson, came after Earl Hines, but came around just the beginning of Earl. And so what we're going to do is listen to a little bit of Earl Garner, who was a person who sort of mastered and played a lot of what these guys were able to play later on. And so we're going to hear Earl Garner. He's going to close out our show. Paul, it was wonderful having you as a co-host. Now we're going to be listening to the great Earl Garner. And you'll hear all of the people that we talked about. Wonderful having you on the show, Paul. We'll be fading out in about 5 seconds.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.